Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Crosses, steeples, services, masses, there's many a symbol that's attached to this word Christianity, isn't there? But when you trim all the extraneous stuff away, what is the Christian faith really about? Well, that's what we're exploring with Michael Bennett, author of the globally used course Christianity Explained. He's with us again. Michael, welcome.
Good to be here.
Last week we looked at Jesus' life, his miracles, and this authority that he seemed to have over nature and sickness, death, forgiveness, the ability to forgive sins, and maybe even authority over us too. Tonight the topic is Jesus' death. Now, if our history is correct, we know that it happened on a horrible, cruel, splintery wooden cross. But the big question is, why?
Yes, that's really at the... I think we've come to the very centre of Christianity when we come to the cross. As you say, we see crosses on buildings, people dangle crosses around their necks, people in the Tour de France cross themselves, you know, all the time. But what does it actually mean? As we were looking at last week, people got very upset with Jesus. You know, when he went around saying things like, your sins are forgiven, and are you the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yes, I am, you know. So eventually they got him on trumped-up charges, brought him before the Roman governor because the Jews were not allowed to put people to death. Only the Romans were allowed to do that. And so they had to come up with some sort of charge. So they charged him with claiming to be a king in opposition to Caesar in Rome. And of course, that's the ultimate charge. So the Romans had him flogged severely, as portrayed in a recent film, fairly graphically, and crucified. And that was the way thousands of people were crucified. It was the way of getting rid of anyone who was a potential threat. It was public. It was humiliating. It was often done naked. It was saying, don't do what this bloke did or this will happen to you.
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
And some supernatural events are reported to have happened around about that time of Jesus' death. And the first one you think of, particularly if we're reading the book of Mark, which you've based this course on and we're reading along together with, darkness came over the land when Jesus actually was dying there. Now, what do you think was going on there? And could it have been some sort of natural eclipse or something like that?
Well, people have suggested that down the years, that maybe it was an eclipse. But physically, it's not possible. An eclipse happens when the moon comes between the sun and the earth and casts its shadow on the earth. But we know that Jesus was crucified during the Jewish Passover. And we know that Passover was always held at full moon. Now, at full moon, the moon is on completely the other side of the earth. Now, you can't have a full moon and an eclipse at the same time. It's physically impossible.
So what was going on? What was going on with that darkness?
Well, I think it's just saying that in the death of Jesus, something incredibly supernatural is happening. Some people say the darkness is connected with human sinfulness and human darkness, if you like. We're not told that, but certainly something is happening that is incredibly out of the ordinary.
And then in the midst of all this, you have these piercing words from Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah, they're strange words, aren't they? It almost sounds as if Jesus had lost his faith. He doesn't even call God Father. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The words themselves actually come from one of the Psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 22. The psalm of a man who completely feels himself forsaken by everyone, by God and man. He is alone. Okay. And some people have suggested that Jesus went on repeating this psalm to himself on the cross. Why does he say it? And I think we've got to face up to the reality that at that time, in some way that we'll never understand, God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, had forsaken him. God had turned his back on his son. In the Bible, it says, there's a verse that says, God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot bear to look upon evil. And we've got to face up the fact that the God of the Bible is a God who hates all evil in any shape or form, even small evil. Remember Adam and Eve, the story says they just took a piece of fruit. Well, that's not a big deal. It's not murder. It's not adultery. It's not genocide. But God is a God who hates all evil. And even when God looks down from heaven, if I can put it this way, and he sees our evil being placed into the body of Jesus on the cross. Now, I know that's a mind-blowing idea, But the Bible says that. Christ himself, I'm quoting, Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross. As God looks down on his son, instead of seeing this pure, righteous son that he had sent into the world, he sees, in a sense, the most sinful man the world has ever seen. There he is, bearing the sins of millions and millions of people. So God does the only thing he can do. He turns his face away.
It's quite horrific to even think about what was going through Jesus' mind at that moment and what was going through into his mind and his heart. If the sins of millions of people, perhaps the whole of history actually, was actually placed on him then, what was going on for him too? This is the very crux of what the Christian faith is all about, isn't it? That Jesus died for our sins.
Yeah.
He was in our place. Actually, it wasn't just simply a dodgy trial that he was suffering for. He was actually suffering for all of us.
Yes, his crucifixion is quite deliberate. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, says to him, "Why don't you answer me? Don't you know I've got the power to crucify you and I've got the power to set you free?" And Jesus says, "No, you don't. You have no power except that which is given you by God." On one occasion, Jesus says, "Don't you think I could call on 10,000 angels to come and deliver me from this situation?" But he allows himself to be taken on a trumped-up charge because his work, if I can put it that way, is not just to die on a cross, but he is a sin bearer. He comes to be the vessel into which your sins and mine are placed. And more than that, and this is the very difficult part, he is the one who comes to take the punishment for those sins. So we can go scot-free. That's the miracle.
We're exploring Christianity Explained. We're exploring the life and message of Jesus with author and pastor Michael Bennett, theopenhouse.net.au, for the podcast. So then after a while, Jesus finally gives up his spirit, the book of Mark actually tells us. He actually dies. And then another miraculous thing actually happens, and this needs a little bit more explanation too. The curtain in the Jewish temple that separates the holy place from the most holy place, where God was believed to reside in this most holy place, it's suddenly ripped in two. Now, again, that's something that needs to be explained because you can read through it and say, what was going on there? Just a Jewish thing or what? What was going on there?
Well, the Bible actually gives us no explanation. It just tells us that it happened, okay? But I think we can guess that on one side of the curtain was God. Now, I know that God doesn't live in a room, but symbolically. And on the other side lived the people, represented by the priests, okay? And this curtain went from floor to ceiling and from wall to wall. There are no gaps in it. And if anyone, any Jewish person, tried to go behind that curtain, they were to be put to death. At the moment of Jesus' death, Mark tells us that that curtain was ripped, and interestingly, from top to bottom. If I was ripping curtains, I'd do them from bottom to top. But from top to bottom, indicating a divine act, an act of God. And it seems to indicate that the barrier, everything that separates us from God, and particularly the barriers we've talked about of those cringe moments, those sins, the evil things we've all done or thought or said, have been taken away.
No barrier.
Yeah. I would like to have seen the priest on duty that day.
Yes.
Who suddenly finds himself looking straight into the forbidden Holy of Holies. You know,
and falling on his face saying, I can't do this. I can't look at this.
That's right. He probably must have freaked out, I think. God and man, who were enemies because of our sins, no problem with God, the problem's with us, suddenly are now friends.
Over the years, some people have raised the question as to whether Jesus really died or not. And there's been skeptics that have said that maybe he just swooned, you know, just kind of passed out or was resuscitated later. Islam teaches that Jesus didn't die. A lot of actual questions have been raised about Jesus' death.
Well, take the first one. I don't know how anybody can believe that. The man who put the spear, remember it says right at the end, one of the Roman soldiers put a spear into Jesus' side to make sure he was good in death. Now, why do you do that? Because there was a law. Under the Roman law, if you were in charge of a prisoner and somehow that prisoner escaped, you took his place. If he was going to be crucified, you were crucified. If he was going to have life imprisonment, you would have life imprisonment, okay?
He had a vested interest to make sure Jesus was dead, didn't he?
Absolutely. No Roman soldier is going to... And secondly, Roman soldiers were trained killers. They're professionals. They would spend hour after hour knowing, where do you put a spear into a body to kill a man? Where is the heart? He knows where to put it. So I think that's a ridiculous idea. It's interesting your comment about Islam said that Jesus didn't actually die on a cross. They say, I think, that Judas died on the cross by a sort of mistake. I was talking to some Muslim friends recently about this, and I just said, look, you don't just have to go to the Bible. There are three accounts outside the Bible written by historians of the time who were not Christians. In fact, they despise Christianity, and they all record the fact that Pontius Pilate had Jesus crucified. Mm. It's historically locked in. There's no doubt Jesus died on the cross. That's beyond doubt.
Yes. Yeah. Michael, why did Jesus have to die for our sins? Why couldn't God, as being the almighty, all-powerful, all-gracious, all-merciful God, just simply forgive us?
Let me ask you this question. Supposing at the local court, and the judge said, a man is brought in who, let's say, he's a paedophile, okay? And the judge says, well, look, you've worn a nice suit and tie today, and you look like a decent sort of guy to me, so look, forget it. Off you go. And let's say all day that's what he's doing. Murderers, rapists, thugs, bank robbers. Mm-hmm. He's just saying, just go. And let's say every judge in the land is doing the same thing. Now, would you like to go on living in Australia?
You've got me.
Because we expect justice. We want a just society. Now, it's difficult, but God, the Bible says, is also just. And sin must be punished. He can't just wave a magic wand and say, look, there, forget it. I know you look nice, you know, or I know you didn't mean it, or I know you're trying harder. The Bible clearly says that sin must be punished. But in his love, what God has done is he has provided another to be punished in our place.
Yeah.
He has sent his own son, and he said to his son, you go to the cross. When you go to the cross, then the sins of millions and millions of people will in some way flood into your body, and then I will put you to death for those sins. See, the thing we need to see is that Jesus did not die of crucifixion. Yes, he was crucified when he died, but he died of the punishment of God upon our sins. And that's why Pilate is surprised when they come and ask for the body after only 6 hours, because crucifixion normally lasted for 3 days. Why is Jesus dead so soon?
So is forgiveness automatic then? If millions of people have had their sins born in the body of Jesus and actually paid for, does that mean we're free?
No. Well, yes, sorry, yes and no. To those who will come to Jesus and put their faith and trust in him, we have different ways of saying this. Sometimes we say those who will receive Jesus as Lord and Saviour, okay? Those who will come to him, those who will believe in him. There are various ways of saying this. Mm. Then yes, their sins are forgiven freely. The cost has been paid by another. But there are many, and I was in this boat for my first 25 years, who just say, no thanks. I don't want any Jesus interfering with my life, you know, coming into my life, telling me what to do, how to live. Sorry, but no thanks. And they reject him. Now, again, we've got to face this one. The Bible says, what they're really saying is, I don't want any Jesus on any cross to take my sins. I will bear my own sins. That's a terrible thing to say, because it means if you go on saying that, then one day you will, and God will punish you for your sins. Perish the thought, absolutely. People might like to believe in a wishy-washy God who is like the judges in my story, who just says, forget it. God's not like that. He can't forget it. But God is primarily a God of love, and he's demonstrated that in Jesus.
Yes. Well, I guess we've looked at the bad news today, the death of Jesus. Next week, though, the resurrection. Did it really happen? Was it really necessary? If so, what does it all mean? All those questions I'm going to throw to you again. Michael, thanks.
Great to be here.
It's Michael Bennett, the author of Christianity Explained and our guide to the life, message and mission of Jesus. ChristianityExplained.com has more, and theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast if you'd like to invite a friend along to listen to the series.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.